I offer this blog today for people who are feeling a lot of anxiety, particularly students facing final exams. In about a page, I'd like to share a story, a cognitive understanding, and then a few simple prescriptions. If it helps you, great. If you think it might be of use to someone, particularly a college student, please share it. First, the story. Just about 39 years ago, I took my first semester first-year exams at Harvard Law School. Going into the exams, we had had no tests, papers, or quizzes to tell us where we stood, so the pressure had risen week by week, month by month. Two things were different back then. First, the concept and even the word anxiety were hardly available for us to understand ourselves. Worry sufficed as a lightweight descriptor, or neurotic was used, but the latter label applied to those who had mental illness, and that was still much stigmatized at the time. You were psycho in the common phraseology if you needed to see a shrink. So, though we were being slow tortured, few of us could admit to ourselves that we suffered from anxiety, and without awareness, there wasn't a lot we could do. Strategies did work, more or less, for more or less of us. Pray, tough it out, get headaches, stomach aches, and mostly study more and more, even if you were concentrating less and less. The second difference back then naturally flowed from the first. You didn't openly share emotional fears and worries. Men in that era were hardwired to act confidently and show no weakness. Women, who made up about 40% of my class, were expected to man up, show no weakness. Deep down, we were all a wreck. We wanted to establish our identity. I belong here, but we couldn't talk about it. Over the last 40 years, I've increasingly become aware that I am beset by near constant anxiety. And anxiety, once it's been freed, is like the genie, too slippery to press back into the bottle. Part two, the understanding. I've come to a cognitive understanding which helps me deal with anxiety and to support the behavioral strategies I'll discuss in a moment. I understand my anxiety as a factory-installed survival warning system. Animals have such warning systems to protect their physical identities. They are always on alert to environmental changes, especially the arrival of predators that may threaten them. We guard our psychic identities as if those identities are our very physical being. Anxiety is produced when something in the environment, like pending finals, warns, "Your identity is coming under attack." A psychic threat can feel existential, like the lamb sensing the existence of a lion. Thus, nearly every student across the country enters the perilous territory of finals. Even the word is scary. Final. With their radar up to the potential destruction of their identity as a great student or just a good student. One who is a student athlete has two foundations of their identity at stake, because if they don't pass, they also don't play. That high school 4.0 or legitimate admission to college means that we feel we have to succeed. And we also claim future identities, law school, med school, a good job to raise a family and support our parents, so we have to succeed. 2 weeks ago, a parent, yes, of a college student, wrote me that their child had to do well because they had to get into our undergraduate business school. Apparently, that parent has to have their kids succeed for their own identity. What do we have to? We have to eat, drink, sleep. Nobody has to get an A or get into B school. So it helps to keep remembering few things we face are existential. Each of us is so much richer than a single identity, a grade, or even a grade point average. So here are five brief strategies that work for me as I deal with anxiety. One, practice gratitude, as I do in starting every meeting every day to remind myself and, bonus, remind others how very rich our lives are. Two, practice breathing. Under threat, our breath grows shallow and we deprive ourselves of necessary oxygen and we begin to tighten up all kinds of parts of our body and brain. When I say practice breathing, yes, I mean meditation or yoga, they are awesome. But I especially mean practice all the time. Every single time you notice you're anxious, tight, take the longest, slowest breath you can, watching it all the way in until you can't sip any more, and then sip a little more. And then let out the longest, slowest breath until there is no more air to release, and then, yep, release more. As I elongate the breath, I love to notice that tense muscles in my body are releasing on their own, especially across my neck and shoulders. Three, work out. When you move, your mind shifts into a different mode. It's really hard on a run, let alone in a basketball game, to be thinking anxious thoughts about work or even relationships. Or it's easier, at any rate, to let the thoughts just go with the next stride. Four, spend quality time with people who help you feel confident, free, silly, good, smart, kind, grateful, etc. You might think right now, who's such a person for you? Get coffee with them. Walk with them to class. Look for them in the dining hall. Text them, but then talk to them. Rub shoulders, literally. Touch matters. Finally, five, talk to your anxiety. Thank it for coming. Let it know you're doing your best. Then listen to that early warning system constructively. Ask if it has specific advice for you right now, which you will gladly take under consideration. If it doesn't have that, let it know, hey, anxiety, you can come back. I appreciate your care. But I'm alive. I'm me. I'm doing my best. I'm pretty good at living. I'm able to roll with the punches. And frankly, I'm pretty busy right now. So, if anxiety is trying to help, as it helps the prey escape the predator, in this case, it might help the most if you ask it to just step back a little right now. These things help me a ton, and I hope they might help you to live and lead with your best self.